This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Rick Delpret, who's going to talk about the Rotary Club, Hotchkiss, and various committees that he's been on. Today's date is September 22nd, 2021. This is Cycle 4, File 35. And here we go. What is your full name?
George Ricardo Delpret.
May I have the story about Ricardo?
Yes. I was named after a doctor. His name is George Ricardo Gagliardi. I was the first baby he ever delivered, and he thought it might be nice. I'm sorry, my brother was the first baby he ever delivered. He thought it might be nice if my mother named the baby, named my brother after him. My mother said, no, it's time to name one after his father. So he became Arthur Eugene Thomas. But she said, if I ever had another one, 4 years later, she had me, and I became George Ricardo. She kept her promise.
What was your brother's name?
Arthur Eugene Thomas Delpret, which was my father's name.
Arthur Eugene Thomas.
Yeah.
What is your birth date?
August 2nd, 1939. I'm old.
No, you're in the prime of life.
Thank you.
And your birthplace?
Framingham, Massachusetts, born and raised.
Good place to be.
Good place. It was a great town to grow up in.
Oh, yes. Now, with your teaching career,
yes.
Where did you graduate from?
From college? I graduated from Framingham High School in 1957, and I went to Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. Got a master's in history and minor in classics. And then after that, I actually went to law school at Boston College for a semester. But I didn't want to be a lawyer after a semester. The only thing I saw was guilty people getting off and innocent people getting hosed. So it didn't interest me much. I always thought I wanted to teach and coach, and I decided to do it. And my wife's help, she said, I want to be happy, so that means you got to be happy.
Got that
so
right.
We said, okay, so we threw everything we owned in the back of a Chevy 2, pretty small car, drove to California, and I started the master's program at UCLA. Why did we go to California? Well, at the time, it was tuition-free. The university, state colleges, and junior colleges were all free.
But you had to establish residence, didn't you?
Yes, I had to establish residence. My wife's mother, we met in California, my wife's mother was out there. So the first semester I was a non-resident, it cost me $600. After that, it cost me more for my parking permit than it did to go to school. That's why I don't like Ronald Reagan. He did away with that.
And where did you teach first?
I first taught at University High School in West Los Angeles. I did student teaching, and I liked it, and decided that I wanted to teach secondary school. Mm-hmm. So we started looking around, and I looked at private schools and public schools, and a fellow that had gone to Bowdoin College was the headmaster at Berwick Academy in South Berwick, Maine. He got my name from a history teacher. He interviewed me over the phone and hired me over the phone.
Good.
Sight unseen. We threw everything we owned back and drove back to Maine.
Did you still have the same Chevy too?
I think so, yeah. We drove to Maine and I started in teaching summer school. Taught, five classes a day, 6 days a week. Loved it. Didn't know any better, And so we loved South Berwick, and that's when we started having children. They were all born in. I wanted them born in Maine, but there wasn't a hospital on the Maine side, so they were born in Dover, New Hampshire. All three of my kids.
What New Hampshire?
Dover.
Okay.
Which is across the river.
Yeah, I know where it is.
And then I taught there for 5 years, became, I was coaching football and lacrosse, athletic director, teaching. And we liked Berwick, but I wanted to try to deal with better students and
a higher caliber
of students and facilities. So I looked around, and I thought I was going to go to Deerfield, but that fell through, and I got a call in the summer from Hotchkiss School, George Kellogg, who was in charge of hiring, great guy, and they offered me a job in the summer. So I had told the headmaster at Berwick I'd be back for one more year, then I would definitely leave. So I went to see him and said, look, I just got a job offer from Hotchkiss School. And I know I told you that, you know, I would be back and I'm going to keep my word. And he said, no, you're crazy. If you don't take it, I'm leaving too. So so I took the job. And
when did you come to Hotchkiss?
1970, the fall of 1970. So I was there 34 years.
So you retired in 2004.
Four, correct.
Now, you had a variety of duties. What did you teach?
I taught American history and ancient history.
And which did you prefer?
Ah, man. I liked the first half of American history.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked ancient history. I liked Rome.
Yeah. You know,
Greece and Rome.
Yep.
I've been there, and it was great. So, you know, but I ended up teaching a lot of the second half of American history, which I thought was not quite as interesting other than the Civil War.
And what did you coach?
I coached football. I started off as an assistant football coach and became head coach in the late 70s, I think, and then became athletic director shortly after that, and I coached basketball for 2 years, not knowing what I was doing other than the ball was round, and I coached lacrosse, which I had coached before. I actually coached girls lacrosse for 2 years. Great experience for me. I found that girls were every bit as competitive as boys. The only thing we didn't have was contact. The rest of it was the same. They worked as hard. They ran. And so it was just a terrific experience for me.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, the girls came in 1974.
74, correct. I had some good girls.
Really good ones, yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Were there many changes when the girls came as far as dress code or manners or anything like that?
I think in terms of manners, I think teachers cleaned up their acts in school, in classes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there were rules.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure it was tremendously different.
It didn't change too much.
No.
Okay.
I think it made a good school better. You know?
Yes. You've got a diversity.
More understanding and diversity. And
now, something I didn't ask you before.
Yes.
At the time that you came to Hotchkiss, were the boys all from the United States, or were they from Europe and Asia?
No, they were foreign students, but they were primarily American kids.
Okay. But it's changed now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, but they had, you know, they had students from abroad.
Oh, yeah. They've always had students from abroad.
Right.
But at that time, it was primarily American and
yes,
very few foreign, and now it's a lot of foreign.
Now there's a lot of foreign kids
okay.
there.
Okay. Anything else that you want to add about Hotchkiss before we move on to something else?
No, other than I was fortunate to work with Bill Olson. He was certainly the best headmaster I worked for. I worked for a whole bunch of them. Arthur White was there. He was the headmaster for a while. One of the best people in the
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I was lucky. I was there at a good time.
You were there at an excellent time.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm so glad.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was great. It was a great experience.
Now, you went on the Salisbury Board of Education.
Correct.
Why?
I just was always raised that if you lived in a town, you owed something to the community that you lived in to serve. And that had come, you know, from my parents and my brothers and sisters. They were all they served in mm-hmm. Framingham. My brother
yep.
was a selectman, and they were in the town, you know, representative
yep.
and whatever. So I just thought it was important to serve, and that, you know, I had kids that had been to Salisbury Central.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were there when I ran, But
no, that, yeah. The only one that I had was Jenna.
Yeah, right. So they, who's a teacher now, by the way.
Yes, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so pleased.
So anyway, that's...
How many terms did you do?
I think I did two. Now, how naive, the first, I thought it was a two-year term, it was four.
Whoops.
I didn't even know. Oh. So I served two terms.
Okay, so you were there for 8 years.
Yes.
The chairman of the board at that time was whom?
Penny Armstrong.
And there were some other people on the board that you just came
John,
up with.
John Lee, Mary Davidson, Sharon Hurlbut.
Okay.
I'm sure there were others.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Were you on a specific committee, or did you just kind of all work together?
Well, we worked together, but there were different committees, and I did, the principals. Oversight of the principal.
Yeah, yes.
Sit down with Tom and say, come on, Tom, we got to get
this. Yeah, the principal was Tom Bradley.
We got to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very nice guy, but he was not.
He was
didn't
a very
rush
nice
into
guy.
Action.
He was a very nice guy.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I know you've been on a lot of different committees.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about the Town Recreation Committee.
Yes, I was actually a school board member is appointed to the Town Recreation Commission, and I was appointed by the school board to the Town Rec. Okay. Marty Whalen was the head of Town Rec at the time.
Oh, good.
And I kind of liked it because, athletics were the business I was in.
Sure.
So I stayed in that, and then when Marty retired, I became chairman, and I served, 20 years?
Probably,
and
probably.
And Jerry, was kind of followed me. Lou is the head now.
Mm-hmm.
I gave up all my boards and so forth when I hit 80. I thought I'd done my time.
That's a good thing. Oh, gee, I've got some time to go yet, haven't I?
But it was good. Town Rec was good, and I'm on... Also got on the Grove Committee.
Well, before we go on to the Grove,
okay.
What does the Town Recreation Committee actually do?
Ah, that's a good question.
That's why I'm asking.
They keep an eye on the Town Rec Director, get reports, decide what we want to do in the summer.
Summer programs?
Summer programs.
Okay.
Come up with the summer programs.
Okay.
Oversee, there's a Grove Commission, but they oversee.
Yeah,
oversee
but the,
that.
The Town Recreation is just recreation.
Yes,
okay.
Just recreation for the community,
And do you remember how often you met? Did you meet on a monthly basis?
I think
basis?
We met monthly. And it also kept an eye on, Little League baseball and things that weren't necessarily town-sponsored, but...
But sports.
But sports.
Anything
the
related to sports.
Oversaw, yes.
Okay. And then you went on to the Grove Committee?
That was on the Grove Committee, yes.
Okay.
Just specifically the Grove. And that was good. In fact, I'm still on that because it only meets four times a year. In a way, I think, but one of them. So.
What do they do?
They oversee the
Grove.
What's going on at the Grove and Stacy and talk about... the weeds in the pond, we've got to get rid of them, and getting rid of the geese, and, not shooting them, but...
No, but getting rid of them somehow.
Right, stuff like that. Things that come up.
Stacy's been there a long
time.
About, I interviewed her, and she said she'd been there 20 years, and I almost fell off my chair.
She was great. She actually worked for us. My wife had ran a camp in the summer, Camp Hilltop. Dick
Camp
Hughes had run it. We took it over.
Camp
it
what?
Was Camp Hilltop. It was a summer hilltop.
Okay.
And it was, we ran it at Hotchkiss on the waterfront in the summer. It was, I think, kids 6 to 11. And Stacy worked for us, I think, for a year or so.
How long did you run that camp?
I don't know. It was my wife's thing, 10 years maybe.
Okay.
Our kids worked there. It was good when they were in school.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we could use the Hotchkiss facilities.
Sure.
They were nice about it. So.
At this summer camp, swimming, boating?
Swimming, boating, sailing.
Okay.
You know, we'd have one overnight, go up on Mount Riga, spend one night up there.
Oh, that would be a treat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Democratic Town Committee.
Correct.
20 years again?
Yeah. Anyway.
You're a sucker for 20 years.
Yes.
Are you still on it, or did you get off?
I'm not on it. I'm not an elected member, but I tune into it every now
and
then. Now they meet at 6 o'clock, which is kind of tough. Cause
oh, yeah.
Kind of having dinner.
How often do they meet? Once a month?
They meet once a month, yeah. And people wanted to meet earlier rather than later, so fine.
It used to be that 5 to 7 was sacred for dinner.
Yeah.
It's nothing sacred
anymore.
Not even Sundays. Any other town committees that we haven't talked about before we go on to Rotary?
I don't think so. I think
that's enough. Good
that's
point.
Enough. That was a lifetime sentence.
Yeah, it can be. It can be.
Yeah.
Now, I think you said you didn't join Rotary until after you retired.
Correct.
Ah!
In 2004, I worked for NBC at the Olympics, the Athens Olympics. And which was a great experience. My wife had I'd been to Greece before. One of the great things about teaching is you get the summer to do things. So we'd been to Greece for summer, and so I went back and worked at the Olympics, which was a great experience.
Oh, that must
came back. You know, I was hanging around the house. My wife didn't want me hanging around the house. So I think she whispered in Jerry Baldwin's ear, "Get him out of here." And he was there. He said, "Do you ever think about coming to Rotary?" I didn't know what Rotary was, Gene. Honestly, I thought it was some religious Rosicrucians or something. I had no idea. So I went, and I kind of liked it. And I met John Neufeld, and it was this smart guy. And
oh, yeah.
And, you know, and a bunch of bright people and hardworking people and doing good things for, you know, locally, the country, and the world. You know,
it's a service.
Service before self.
Yes.
And I thought it was a terrific organization. And it still is. Now, at the time, we probably had 60 members. Now we're down to half that.
Oh, yeah.
People don't join anymore, you know. Young people don't join anymore.
And now they have women.
Now they have women. Yeah. They had women when I joined.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Okay. As Foster was in it before there were women.
Right.
And Laura Hawks was the first woman president.
It was great.
Yeah. Sometimes, no offense, but sometimes the women do push things along a bit.
I think having women makes a good organization better.
It does. And so. You had the responsibility of working with the fireworks.
Right. That was the first thing I did, was the fireworks. So we're out there, and I'm at Lime Rock Park. There's a huge electrical storm, and I think, here I am, serving Rotary, I'm going to get electrocuted.
but you
didn't. I didn't.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And the fireworks did go off. So, and we do that yearly, and it's our biggest fundraiser.
Oh, and it's a wonderful one.
This year, not so much, because, you know, it was postponed twice. And
oh,
blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
We about broke even. We might have even lost a few bucks, but it's still a good event.
Oh, it is.
People like it.
Yeah, oh, and they come and they tailgate party.
They tailgate, picnic. But, you know, and once we're back to normal, it'll be better. There'll be more food trucks and things for kids to do or whatever.
So
it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah. I can hear them, but I can't see them from where I live.
Right.
Why did you become a Justice of the Peace?
I have no idea. When somebody talked about it, I think the guy that I had replaced, Dick Gurney, a Hotchkiss guy, that I had replaced on Town Rec, had been a Justice of the Peace. And I thought, okay, you know, why not?
Sure.
So I became a Justice of the Peace.
Do you remember when?
I don't.
That's okay.
A while ago.
Do you have to have any training?
They send you a book. No, you do three things. So something like prevent riots, marry people, and there's one other one I can't remember.
Have you prevented any riots?
I have not.
Have you done any
riots? I think I'm going to stand at the border of Chiffield with a weapon, defending Connecticut against all invaders.
Oh, Lord.
And I didn't.
Well, I'm going to Sheffield on Saturday, so...
Okay.
Okay.
So, your next time you get married...
I'll do it. And you do weddings.
I do weddings. Yeah, I did one a couple weeks ago in Sharon.
Good.
I don't do too many of them anymore, but...
But it's fun.
I did, yeah. I did one, this young couple. God, they were so clueless. And they had a baby, you know, and they mm-hmm. wanted to get married. So, okay, I'll meet you at the town hall. Do you have a license, huh?
Oh,
need a license to get married. Go in there and get a license. So they did. And they had to, you know, obviously pay for the license. Mm-hmm. They didn't have enough money to pay for the wedding. Didn't matter. I married them anyway.
Oh, my word.
You know, but.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my. And you are on the Salisbury Association Historical Society.
Correct.
With me, you lucky man.
Correct. That's right.
When did you join that one?
I've been in the Salisbury Association for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Lou was chairman, and mm-hmm. we talked about some things. So I let me go to a meeting and kind of liked it.
Yeah.
And like history, obviously.
Oh,
like
obviously.
History in the town. I don't think we do enough of it with it, but, you know, town history.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on it. That's why
you
I'm doing
that.
The oral histories.
Yeah. Great.
Probably you did this maybe... I'm trying to think, because I've been on it forever. 2010? Or before? Whenever Lou was on, because I was on with Ron Jones, and then Lou took over.
Right.
And now we've got Rick Reifschneider.
I was on it when Ron Jones was on it, but I can't remember if he was the chair or not.
Well, he was chair of the, not of the Salisbury Association, but he was chair of the Historical Society.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was on it when he was...
So you've been on it for quite a while. Not another 20 years, but at least 15.
Another one.
Oh, goody.
I'm old.
No, you're not. 82 is not old. No way.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we haven't covered?
The only thing, as I said, I wish we could have a dig in town. Because, as you know, the Convention Army,
mm-hmm.
which was Burgoyne's army that lost at Saratoga, spend a night or two in town somewhere. It'd be nice to find out where and to have a dig. Maybe come up with something. I thought about digs for the...
The Indians.
Indians. I guess we say Native Americans.
Oh, yes,
Indians,
yes. Sorry about that.
But I found out there were some wigwams on the banks at Factory Pond, but that's Sunder Ethan Allen Street and the railroad tracks, I'm sure. You know, and the Indians didn't really... live here. They were
migrants, sort of.
Yeah, they were migratory. They fished, they hunted. Spring and summer, or summer and fall, and moved on. There are probably a few, but...
Yeah, but not a large group or anything like that.
No, up in Wheaton.
I think that the general thought is that perhaps the Convention Army may have camped out at the community field behind Patco.
Yes. I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
First of all, they talked about Stiles Meadow, but people have been through that and found nothing.
No.
And then maybe Lion's Head. But, you know, community field makes the most sense. There was water, it was near the lake, there were troops guarding the foundry, so.
Well, there's a plaque in Canaan before the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
And that's where they had camped. So it might make more sense to be down by Community Field because of the distance.
I would think, but...
Well, that's a mystery that we'll have to solve.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much.
My pleasure.